Hello, I'm Sam Clements, and welcome to this special mini episode of the Picture House podcast to talk about the new film, The Breadwinner. The Breadwinner is in cinemas this bank holiday weekend. Would highly recommend checking it out. You may have heard of The Breadwinner previously because it's done the festival circuit. It's played at festivals such as London, Toronto, and it was nominated for an Oscar for the Best Animated Feature Film, which is a very high accolade. I think it was the only non-American nomination this year as well. I think Pixar and Disney usually have their toes in that particular pool, so always nice to see a bit more diversity in that category. Annoying still that animations are relegated to a special category and they can't compete with the big guns because, I mean, seriously, come on guys, animations are wonderful films and it's such a shame that they're always sort of kept at arm's length. Anyway, it's not a podcast about that. It's a podcast about The Breadwinner, which is a joyous film and one that I personally really, really loved when I saw it at the London Film Festival for its UK premiere. At London Film Festival, I was lucky enough to speak to director of The Breadwinner, Nora Twomey. Nora has made some really wonderful films, which I highly recommend checking out. Secret of Kells in particular, and she was also involved in The Song of the Sea. But this is her first solo directing credit. In addition to Nora, I was lucky enough to be joined by the film's star, the lead voice actor, Sara Chowdhury. So it's Nora and Sara together. They were in town for the London Film Festival, and I'm so thrilled that The Breadwinner is finally coming out to cinemas. It was one of my favourite films I saw last year, and if I was being very specific about this, and I had to do a list of my favourite films of this year, including their theatrical releases this year, The Breadwinner would also cross over into my favourite theatrically released films in 2018. I think this film's really wonderful. There's a great blend of animation styles. It looks great on a big screen. Very impressive visually. And the voice performances are all wonderful. They're so well cast. And I think the way Nora directs her actors to get those voice performances, as well as everything else, is a real treat. It's also an animation that is suitable for the whole family, but it does deal with some tough stuff and stuff which I don't think I've ever seen in animation before, so I found it kind of enlightening on that front. Anyway, that's enough of me. Please enjoy my chat with Nora and Sara from the London Film Festival last year. The Breadwinner is in cinemas now. Enjoy. Nora, Sara, thank you so much for talking to us today at the London Film Festival, which is very exciting.
Yes, it's absolutely exciting.
So this, with The Breadwinner, is it recently started its sort of festival tour?
Yeah, it premiered in Toronto, International Film Festival, and it has done some festivals in Canada, but this is its European premiere, so here at London Film Festival, so we're really, really delighted with that.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the filmmaking process. How long has this film been with you and been in production, and what's it like now sort of finally taking it out there and seeing it with audiences, being on stage after they've just watched it?
It's about 4 years, I think, since we started the screenplay. So yeah, I mean, animation is a slow process, and honestly, that's kind of fast for us, you know. and most of the process, you're dealing with small groups of people, I guess, at one time. So it'll be the screenwriter, and then the voice cast, and then storyboarders. So you're just moving from department. So it's quite a slow process and quite involved, and lots of it, involves being inside and little studios and that, you know. So then to finally come out and see it with an audience is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I first auditioned for it when I was 10 years old, and then when I just turned 11, we started recording, and then it's been around 2.5-3 years since then, because now I'm 13, it's finally out, and now we get to see it with an audience and see their reaction. So it's kind of crazy that it's been that long, but it's definitely satisfying and rewarding to see the audience's reaction and their positive feedback.
What point in the process do you do the voices? Do you come in and sort of have the session with the actors, and do you do multiple sessions?
We do it partway through storyboarding. Basically, we do the voice actors' performances, and we try not to do multiple sessions because it would be really expensive in terms of not just obviously recording the voice actors, but in terms of reanimating sequences. Or we need to lock it down as early as possible. So that's why we need such amazing voice talent as we have with Sara and the rest of the cast here. We need that kind of level of commitment from our actors to bring home the the character's performances then, I think it's quite important. So it's early on, yeah.
So when you're actually in the doing the session, you have, I guess, still drawings to look at, the storyboards. Do you have any moving sort of animation to watch?
Well, I think when I was in the recording studio, I was looking at rough drafts of pictures. I remember Nora would always, on my actual script, if, you know, there wasn't really anything to look at, or, you know, if, you know, we weren't really feeling much emotion in the scene and we weren't really connecting, she would draw on my page different emotions that the character had. And, you know, I still have the original copy of my script with Nora's little note and the little drawings on it. And I was flipping through it the other day and I saw all the little faces she drew of Parvana, and it was incredible to see all the little details that went into it. But yeah, I didn't really have much to go on, but I think that really contributed to the movie, because the fact that I didn't really have anything, it allowed me to at least have a small creative input, because I find, like, when you're acting on screen, it's kind of difficult to have a creative input, and actors often don't really have a creative input. I mean, when you go on set, you're on set and you have props and you deal with your props and you go from there. But with animation and with voice acting, you're allowed to go in whatever direction you want. And that was an interesting journey with Nora, just really building this character right from the bottom, and, you know, adding on different layers and just seeing where, you know, this character would take us. It was really special.
It sounds really interesting, having that chance to, you know, use your imagination to feed into the character.
Yeah.
Because you know, you're right, you don't have props, you don't have a set to act of, it's all in your head.
Right. Definitely unlike something I've ever done before. I mean, I've done voice acting, but this was definitely more of a organic, creative process.
And on the day, how does it work? Do you do sort of individual actors at individual times? And are you there sort of reading the other actors' lines?
Yeah, we did all the actors separately. I suppose, because we had some young actors, Sarah and Soma, who plays Shazia, we had younger actors, and I needed to make sure that we had the right level of energy. And it's a funny one with the story of the breadwinner, because we're depicting young girls who are working 16 hours a day, who mightn't have, you know, the nutritious meals, you know, and that. So trying to get the right level of energy so that we pulled a little bit of energy out of the performances, but at the same time kind of brought their spirit up through that. Mm-hmm. That was an interesting challenge. So that's why we kind of do them separately. It also leaves a huge amount of flexibility when we're putting the film together, when we're editing, putting down the voice performances. For the animators to use, it gives us a lot of flexibility.
So following the sort of voice recording session, is it then a case of going through the various takes with the storyboard and sort of finding which sort of vocal performance you'll use to animate to?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we find the balance between all the different characters as well. You know, what's interesting about the film The Breadwinner is that we have these wonderful female performances. So we had Sarah playing Parvana, we had the character of Fatima, who's the mother in the film, and we have Soraya, who's Parvana's older sister. And they spend a lot of time in one room. So hearing the different qualities of their voices and the different passion behind their voices, I suppose, and the different personalities was very lovely. In ways, it reminded me of the three faces of Eve. You know, you have the different, you know, the older woman, the younger woman, and the child together. So there was something very powerful about that.
It must be quite fun sort of seeing all the voices together on the on the big screen for the first time, because it's so naturalistic in the film and the family feels so tight.
Right, yeah. I mean, when I was alone in the booth, it didn't really cross my mind that, oh, this may sound weird when, you know, it's put together. But then later on, when I was thinking about it before the premiere actually happened, I was thinking, wait, we weren't in the studio together. You know, I didn't hear what the other characters were saying or what, you know, level of energy they had. But I said yesterday in the Q&A after the UK premiere, I was saying that, you know, Nora has this magic within her that, you know, she was able to act with us and, you know, play the different characters with us. And somehow with, you know, Nora's magic, she was able to bring all these characters together and make it seem like such a tight family and, you know, make these relationships so believable and so authentic. So I think that was really, really special to, you know, see it all on screen finally and see it all put together.
What was really striking for me was the scenes where Parvana's telling the story, mm-hmm. And then the animation style changes. And I guess you have to deliver a different performance then because you're the storyteller.
Right.
And then also the animation changes to this really beautiful style. I was wondering a couple of things. Like, can you remember doing those, reading that story out and sort of deciding to change your performance for that? And also just why the different animation style?
Yeah, I do remember, actually. I remember going from banging on the prison doors, yelling at the soldiers and asking them to bring my father to me, and then going into, you know, the story of, you know, soothe the elephant, Suleiman. And there was that, you know, shift, but it kind of just happened naturally. I'm not really sure. I mean, it was a couple of years ago, but I don't know. It just kind of happened naturally. And, you know, when you the writing was absolutely beautiful. So it made it easy for me to, you know, shift into that different world.
Sarah's imagination was just incredible, you know, and her trusting was really incredible as well, I think, during those performances. And she was really able to go anywhere I asked her to go to, you know, in terms of reaching, you know, the depths of her own emotion and her own skills and talent as an actor. You know, she was always able to reach the level that the film needed her to be at, you know, and then beyond, you know. And what was amazing about Sarah then was that she would just shake it off at the end of the day, you know. She would go back to being a little girl because you're only 11 at the time. So that was just magic to watch. In terms of the other style in the film, where we see Piranha's imagination, we always felt that we had to have a balance in the film, and we didn't want to tax our audience too much, you know, in terms of emotionally. We wanted to make sure that we were responsible with our audience so that they always had a fresh palette in a way, you know. So if we were in the room with the women for a while, that we came out into the marketplace. And when we came out into the marketplace, if we were there for a little bit of time, then we went into Piranha's imagination. I think that by shifting through the film between those two worlds, one complemented the other. We always knew with the style of animation what one was, the other one couldn't be. So when Piranha's real world is very naturalistic and very painterly and very much to do with dust and atmosphere and subtle performances, we knew that her imagination had to be the opposite. So we based the style of acting in the characters and in Sarah's performance as well on more a theatre type style of, you know, storytelling. We introduced colors that we didn't have in our day-to-day life in Kabul. We had something that kind of harked back to Parvana's heritage and, you know, the wonderful cultural artifacts that you have in Afghanistan, where you have wonderful colors, you know, lapis lazuli and, you know, these amazing colors from artifacts that have been in Afghanistan through all the different time periods, you know. So so we just wanted to reference that to a degree.
It gives the film a real sort of rich, vibrant sort of sense of character, and you're right, I guess, like, playing on the character's heritage is really important and gives her like a deeper sort of purpose in the film. Was it sort of a cutout type animation for the storytelling?
Because we were dealing within an independent film budget, I guess we wanted to do cutout animation, but we didn't have the amount of money that we need to do to justice to the, you know, what we wanted to achieve on screen. So we did a lot of research with a cutout animator who came and did a lot of research with us, and she shot practically with her camera and set up different situations, lighting situations, and we used that then as a reference with our compositing software. So it's all done digitally, but it's done. The brief that we had was, you imagine that you gave one cutout animator 20 years to work, you know, kind of thing with you know, all of the kind of resources that you could possibly give that animator. So imagine what that animator would do, you know. So that's how we came across. We came up with the look of it, and then our partner studios in Toronto, Guru Studios, who handle the compositing, really helped us bring the qualities of the cutout animation to the finally composited digital animation.
So it's a real sort of co-production and sort of collaboration in that respect.
Yeah, it was a hugely collaborative project, really. There were, you know, over 300 people working on this film, you know, and each one contributed their own skills and talents, and we had the three co-producer studios with Aircraft Pictures and Medicine and Cartoon Saloon, and then we had Guru doing the incredible compositing that they did on the film. But every department really, you know, added so much to it, and it was a wonderful feeling to have one film that was spread out across the globe like that. And within each team, then you had, all people coming from different parts of the world to work on this project. Yeah, it's been a really special one for us.
It is a really special story. Like watching it, I've only, been with this story for about 90 minutes. It's really struck a chord in me, and I've been telling, everybody to go and see the Breadwinner, LFF, you have to see the Breadwinner. What can you remember what you felt like when you first read the story, when you first heard about this story, and why you decided to be involved?
Well, for me, I was 9 years old when I first read the book. I read the whole trilogy, actually, in probably less than 2 weeks.
Wow.
I fell in love with the character. I fell in love with her positivity, her determination, and, this hope that she had within her. And The Breadwinner actually became my favorite book, and Deborah Ellis became my favorite author. And at the time when I was reading this book, I was actually auditioning for a role in Les Mis as Little Cosette. And I later on got that part and played her because I felt like the book, even though it's a different time period, it's a different country, the book had similar themes and helped me to connect with that other character. But, that was just one connection. And then a little bit later on, I actually got to meet Deborah Ellis because she came to my school to do a talk. And during the Q&A session, right after her presentation, I raised my hand and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Please answer my question. And so she picked me and I said, hey, I really love The Breadwinner. Is there a chance of you making a movie? Because I would totally go watch it. I feel like that book would on screen, it would be incredible. And she was like, oh, well, it's in the works. We're not really sure. We're working on it, but I'll let you know. I was like, okay, great. About a few months later, before I knew it, I got a call from my agent saying, hey, so there's this audition for The Breadwinner. Would you be interested? And I was like, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. I was so excited ever since, that first audition. I knew I had to get this part. I would be so disappointed if I didn't, but I think it was meant to be. It just came in a full circle, and her, Pervana's characteristics and her attributes and, her positivity just, lured me to this book and later on the movie. So
that's remarkable. I've never heard that story of any sort of someone being cast in a film. Like, that's like one in a million. Incredible.
Honestly, when I tell some people the story, they often think it's fake. And I literally have proof. I used to send letters to Deborah Ellis saying, I just read The Breadwinner. It's incredible. Blah, 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 blah. So it's not fake, if anyone's wondering.
Incredible.
Sarah is absolutely one in a million, and her performance in The Breadwinner is just incredible,
Thank you.
And again, she just always hit the level that we needed her to, in order to bring back, the performance that the animator could use, and that was really incredible. Yeah, when I first came across Deborah's book, I think I read it in one sitting. And again, mm-hmm. just the way that Deborah had written for young adults in a way that didn't talk down to them, and that, I as an adult could read that same book and still be in one way entertained, because it's a really gripping story, and the story of Pervana and the drama that goes on within her family, and then the larger picture that we hear about in the book was an amazing novel. And I think that she did such an incredible job. I think she based the book on stories that women had told her from refugee camps in Pakistan, who had come from Afghanistan during the different decades of conflict there. So she had managed to then bring that to a story for young people, I think, which was really interesting. We had amazing source material, I think, with the whole project, So
it's very specific to a certain time period, but at the same time, the story is so universal. I think it will resonate with audiences no matter, what extra knowledge they bring into the film.
Absolutely. And I think as filmmakers, we were mindful of the decade and a half that had taken place, you know, since, because the book was published in 2000. It had been written during the Taliban era in Afghanistan. But with everything that had happened since, I suppose, the idea that there are no black and white answers, there are no easy answers, that there are only questions, I suppose, and to acknowledge the complexity of the situation in Afghanistan, to acknowledge the universal nature of conflict, I think, was something that we wanted to get across there.
It's quite a challenge to take on.
Yeah, but I mean, there were over 300 people involved with this film, you know, and we had lots of Afghan people bringing their voices to the story and talking with us and trying to inform everyone working on the film as much as we could. We had lots of Skype things during the making of the film. We would get somebody who had a story to tell about Afghanistan, and they would come on Skype with the crew, and we would ask questions, you know, and just try and immerse ourselves as much as we could in Afghan culture, Afghan history, and then to try and make the story universal at the same time.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank
and for
you.
Coming to London with the film. It's great. It's playing in the festival, and I know, you know, when it comes into cinema in the UK, audiences will flock to see it, and we'll be talking about it afterwards, I'm sure.
I hope, and we
can't wait to play it in our cinemas.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to the Picture House podcast, a Picture House's production brought to you by Picture House Cinemas. We would like to thank everyone who works at Picture House Cinemas and everyone who has ever attended a screening of a film at a Picture House cinema. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.